الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا حيا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهد الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صلي وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وعترته وأهل بيته. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. قال الله في كتابه الحكيم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. As sophisticated as the words of the Quran are in itself, the deep meaning that they imply, the Quran has a way of addressing issues in a way which is precise and to the point. And within a few words or a few phrases, there are many meanings to be implied and discovered. If you remember, for those who were here a few nights ago, when during the last days of Ramadan we spoke about one of the companions of the Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, by the name of Humam. Humam was a devoted companion, and he was known for his worship, his devotion. And when he asked the Imam about the meaning or interpretation of a certain verse, the Imam delivered an entire sermon. The Imam read the verse, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna Allah ma'al ladhina attaqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun, that Allah is with those who have piety and with those who do good. So Humam was not satisfied with this reply. He had asked the Imam, who are those who are victorious on the Day of Judgment? So the Imam replied with one small verse, very short and sweet, that he is with those who have piety and those who do good. But Humam was not satisfied. He wanted to explain, he wanted an explanation of the meaning of the verse. So the Imam, in explaining who are the ones that fear Allah, have piety and do good, delivered an entire sermon. And this entire meaning was interpreted from one small verse, that Allah is with the pious and those who do good. So many of the verses of the Quran follow the same fashion. There are, you know, only a few words or a few phrases, but they carry much meaning. And the interpretation is reserved, according to the Quran itself, to Allah and those who have firm knowledge. Allah وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. People such as the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. In this verse, Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 97. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who do good. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Those who do good, whether male or female, and they have belief. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We will give them a blessed and joyful life and existence. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So those who do good and those who have faith. There has to be good deeds and faith. One cannot work without the other. Doing good without solid faith does not work. And having solid faith does not work without doing good. So they both have to come hand in hand. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing in this verse? فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We will revive him. We will give him vitality and liveliness. حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Not just mere life, but a blessed and a joyful life. Not just mere existence, but a blessed and fruitful existence. Because today, when you look at the population of Earth, more than 7 billion people, and statistics say that in a few decades, the population of Earth will surpass 9 billion people. Well, there are 7 people, and there are going to be, you know, 8 and 9 billion people in the future, and it may even surpass that number. They're all human beings, they're all alive. But how many are truly alive? How many truly have livelihood and vitality? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of in the Qur'an. Because when Allah speaks of life and death, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, being alive and having a soul in you as opposed to being in your grave. Life and death in the Qur'an have other implications. That's why in one verse, for instance, Allah says to the Prophet, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. That some of them, they are dead. They are alive, but they are dead. They are going towards death. In another verse, Allah speaks about those who are alive, but inside they are dead. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ السُّمَّ الدُّعَاءِ إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ. That, Ya Rasulullah, you do not have the capacity, or they do not have the capacity to hear your words because they are dead on the inside. They have ears, لَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They can hear, but they can't listen. They have eyes, but they cannot see with their eyes. They have hearts, but they can't reflect. So, you see them, you know, they walk around, they eat, they talk, they speak, they drive, but they can't reflect, they cannot ponder, they cannot listen, they cannot truly see. So they're alive, but on the inside they are dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people who do good and have faith. He says, لَنُحْيَنَّهُمْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We will give them a very blessed life, a very blessed existence. Meaning not only are they alive, not only can they see, not only can they hear, but we will grant them a higher degree of living. We will allow them to live their lives to their fullest. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow people to live their lives to the fullest? What does it mean to live your life to the fullest? Now, you know, there's motivational speeches and books on how to live your life and how to make money and how to this and that. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's completely different. Living your life to the fullest, or living a blessed and joyful life, is not about making money, it's not about this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes in the Qur'an to a few attributes which are given to those who He says have a blessed life and a blessed existence. Now our life, the source and the center of our creation, our hayat, our existence, all of that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of it is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the free will to do what we want, but our free will is limited. It is not unlimited. In the end, all of our deeds, all of our actions, and even our life itself, the energy which we are created from, all of that is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we may reproduce. So energy is created by Allah, and we may reproduce that energy. Any energy which we expend, any energy which we use today, is not new energy. Physicists They say there's a theory in physics which says that the energy which we see today in this world, it cannot be created and it cannot be destroyed. So there's no new energy which can be created. It has been created. And energy cannot be destroyed. It can be reproduced. It can be transferred from one to another. When we consume food, we are consuming energy. When we consume calories, we are consuming energy. And then we tend to reproduce that through our actions, through our speech, and through our words, and through our actions. So without that energy which we consume, without that energy which we gain, we aren't able to produce our speech and we aren't able to produce our actions. So if a person is left without consuming calories for days or weeks or months on end, pretty soon, you know, after a while, he won't have energy to reproduce. So he won't be able to talk properly, he won't be able to act properly, he won't be able to walk properly, until eventually a person loses life, loses everything that he has because he has not acquired energy. So any energy which we have, any life that there is, has already been created. And all of it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's important to keep in mind, the energy that we take in, we are only reproducing. So if it is pure energy, we produce that which is pure. And if it is negative, impure energy, then that which we reproduce is evil. It cannot be good. That's why we pay close attention to what we consume. Allah says, فَلْيَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Let man look to his food, make sure that it is pure. Because if you're eating that which is pure, that which is halal, that which has been acquired through a legitimate means, then you are able to produce that which is legitimate. But if you are surrounded by negative energy, meaning if you are consuming that which is impure, if you are listening to that which is impure, if the clothes on your back have not been acquired through a legitimate means and you're surrounded by all of this negative energy, it's around you and it is within you, then naturally you won't be able to reproduce that which is pure. So if we eat haram, we're not going to be able to do good. That's why it's important to make sure that what we are consuming is halal. Even for children at a young age. You know, some parents have the mentality that my child is, he's not yet, you know, a baligh, he's not yet responsible, that he can be fed that which is impure. And he won't be held accountable, he won't be held responsible. That may be true, he may not be held responsible or accountable. But all of that which is being consumed, that creates negative energy. And negative energy creates negative actions and negative speech. So it's important to make sure that we are surrounded by positive energy and we are surrounded by good. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the degrees of life when He speaks about blessing people who do good and have good faith with a joyful and blessed life or a joyful and blessed existence? Life has degrees. Some people are living their life to the fullest. And some people, they're at a very low degree, at a very low level. So in the same way, if you can imagine light. Light exists. And you can have light that emits from a match, or light that emits from a bulb, or light that emits from the sun. It's all light, but they are at different degrees. Heat, energy. Some things produce less energy and some things produce more energy. Life in itself can also be lived by degrees. Some people live a lower degree of life and some people live a higher degree of life. Those who live a lower degree of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them in the Quran that they're dead. They're alive, but in reality they're dead. But then there are those who live a high degree, a blessed and joyful existence. Who are they? The Quran alludes to them in a series of verses. Now what separates those who are alive on the inside from those who are dead on the inside? Number one, those who are blessed, who enjoy a blessed existence, they find themselves in a state of content and satisfaction. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the soul which is content and which is satisfied. That when it goes back to its Lord, it will be content and it will be satisfied. People who are living life to the fullest, according to the Quran, one attribute is what? People who are on Wall Street making millions of dollars a month? It's not that. Is it a person who's driving the latest car or wearing the best clothes? It's not that. The people who are living their life to the fullest are those who are satisfied and they are content with what they have. When you become content and satisfied with what you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes what you have the best in your eyes. And you don't want it to be replaced ever. So if you find a spouse who becomes everything that you want, every characteristic, every good attribute that you want, and you're truly satisfied and content with this spouse, then even if another spouse comes along who may have different attributes, a husband who, you know, has more money, or a wife who is better looking or cooks better food or whatever, you are not going to want that. What you have is going to cause you content and satisfaction. And what you have becomes the best in your eyes. So that's one attribute, content and satisfaction. Another attribute which people who are living their life according to the Quran to the fullest, a blessed and joyful existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of people who have divine support. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. He says that the believers are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written on their hearts, the faith, He has established faith in their hearts. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِنْهِ. That He has given them support of a divine soul. And who is that soul? Whenever the word ruh is mentioned in the Quran, ruh al-Qudus for instance, the Holy Spirit refers to whom? It refers to the archangel, Jibra'il. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of supporting the prophets with ruh al-Qudus, such as the case with Isa ibn Maryam, Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, that Holy Spirit is, its manifestation is the angel Jibra'il. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't only divinely support the prophets, He divinely supports people as well. Those, the believers, are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written the iman in their hearts, وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهِ. And He has given them divine support from the angels. This is another attribute. A third attribute, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there are some people who reach a stage where they are given access to that which is inaccessible to other people. They are able to witness the unseen. كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah says that if you had conviction, and some people have this yaqeen, this conviction, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ means that you will witness the hellfire. Meaning what? You will witness the consequences and the results of your bad deeds. Because the result of our bad deeds is entrance to the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will be able to witness your consequences of your deeds. The consequences of our deeds, for people who have no conscience, for people who live the lowest degree of life, for people who live in disobedience, and that's why they continue their disobedience, is because they can't see the consequences of their actions. When they do evil, when they murder, when they steal, they don't see the consequence. They don't know what's going to happen in the future. Or a young person who goes out and parties, for instance, you know, all day and all night. This young person doesn't know the consequences of his actions. Allah says that there are some people who they are able to witness the consequences of their actions, and that witnessing is witnessing the unseen, because we aren't able to, on a regular basis, witness the consequences of our actions. And those people, they are able to stay away from evil because they can witness the consequences of their actions. Those people are able to do good because they are able to witness the consequences of their good as well. كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين, had you had conviction, Allah says, لترون الجحيم, that you would see the fire. And infallibility, just as a side note, when we're speaking about infallibility, the prophets and the imams being infallible, we're not speaking about their inability to do evil completely. I mean, they're human beings, just like us. They walk and they talk and they eat and they sleep. So it's not like if they want to do evil, you know, there's the hand of God or the hand of the angel which is saying, which is holding them back physically and saying, don't do it. One level of infallibility, and this is one of the low levels of infallibility and being immaculate, is having the ability to witness the consequences of the deeds. So a person like the Prophet, or a person like the Imam, or a person who is close to the level of the Prophets and the Imams, the Awliya, they are able to refrain from evil by seeing the consequences of their deeds. And as they are about to do the evil, if their nafs desires it, and speaking not of the Prophet and the Imams, the Awliya, they can actually feel and witness close hand the consequences. And this is why when Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his letter, in his sermon to Humam, when he speaks to Humam, he tells him that there are people who come across the verses of the Quran. When they read the verses of the Quran which speak about heaven, they witness heaven. When he reads the Quran, when he comes across the verses which speak about the bounties and blessings of the heaven, then he is able to witness it. It is as if he is walking through paradise. And that creates an environment for him where he's only doing good because he wants to achieve that good. At the same time, he says, these good people, these people who have piety and do good, when they come across verses which speak about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if they can feel the heat of the hellfire as they are reciting it. And the Quran says this about people. Of course, on the Day of Judgment and before the Day of Judgment as well. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورٌ, that they can hear the screams and the cries of the hellfire as it is boiling. In another verse, سَمِعُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّضًا وَزَفِيرًا, they can hear the noise when the hellfire sees them, وَالْعِيَادَ بِاللَّهِ, on the Day of Judgment. May Allah protect us all from the hellfire. That when the hellfire sees them, it begins to breathe, تَغَيُّض, it begins to breathe, and it begins to rage, waiting for them to be thrown into the hellfire. There are some people who, when they read these verses, it's not about the Day of Judgment, it's about today. They live their life today as if they are living the Day of Judgment, as if they can see the hellfire in front of them, and they can see the heaven in front of them. Doesn't one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, when he comes to join the camp of Imam Hussein, doesn't he say that, I can see, before this, he says to his companions, that I can see the heaven and the hellfire in front of me, and by Allah I will not choose anything over the heaven, I will not choose the hellfire. He says, I can witness it, I can witness the consequences of my deeds. Whatever I do in the next day, whatever I do in the next 2 days, I know it's either heaven or it's hell. I can't retreat, there's no other way out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about people whom He has blessed, when He speaks about hayatan tayyiba, a blessed, joyful existence, is that they can see the consequences. When they read the Quran, they're so in tune with it that they can witness the verses in front of them, happening right in front of them. And that's why when we speak about the Quran, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the Prophet will complain that, oh Allah, my people have abandoned the Quran. Abandoning the Quran doesn't mean just putting it on the shelf and letting it collect dust. Abandoning the Quran is when you read it, but you have no idea of what is being said. No idea of what is being implied. That's why it's not only enough to read the Quran, but get in tune with the Quran. Know exactly what it is saying. Get in touch with the Quran. So that when you come across verses of punishment, you stay away from evil. When you come across verses of good, you strive towards good. It is as if you are witnessing the verses of the Quran as you are reciting them. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So these are just a few attributes of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. These are privileges which are given to people. So those who have satisfaction and content, that's a privilege. It's not found in every person. Those who can see the unseen, that is a privilege. It doesn't exist in everyone. Those who have a feeling of divine support, they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding their hand and walking them. That doesn't belong to everyone. That's a privilege. Another privilege, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is that for some people, He allows them, through their deeds, to be a guide for other people. نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ He says that their light, their nur, their illumination, becomes apparent in front of them. And through that illumination, they become a guide for other people. So some people, their very existence is so blessed, and it is so great in itself, that just their existence, it doesn't even have to be their doing good deeds. Their existence is so blessed in itself that it affects people in a way that it changes their course of action. When I see this person, he is so blessed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has illuminated him for me in a way that it affects my action. I begin to do good. I begin to humble myself. I begin to become embarrassed of evil just when I look at this person's face. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses people with this nur. نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ Being around scholars for a certain part of my life, a portion of my life, and the Hawza, I was blessed to be around some people who were truly blessed. Their existence was a blessing. And when you come across them, the illumination which emanates from them, you know, it's not an exaggeration. For some of them, just seeing them and being around them, it would encourage us to do good. It would encourage us to refrain from evil. It would encourage us to become more humble and you know, have more humility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a blessing, it's a privilege from God. Not everyone has this illumination which illuminates the path for others to do good. One of these people is the late Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Rida Shirazi, our teacher, and every time I would see him, truly, and for those who have met him, they, you know, they can testify to this as well. He was such a good man in himself, and he was so illuminated that when we would see him as his students, he you know, it would force us to become more humble and have more humility, and it would want us to become better people in ourselves. So these are privileges which are given to those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed in this life and in the next life. Let us try to attain some of these attributes. Number one is satisfaction and contentment. Try to attain satisfaction and contentment in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal-Asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. Allah swears by time. And then He says, surely man is at loss. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Now what does this refer to? When Allah says that people are at loss, is He saying that men are, humanity and mankind are losers, that they're all going to hellfire? What does this loss refer to? This loss refers to the loss of time. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. That He's saying, verily, man is losing time. Time is against you. Every second that passes, you won't be able to retrieve. I won't be able to retrieve the last 10 seconds, whatever I said 10 seconds ago or 20 seconds ago. There is no way I can retrieve it. So verily, man is at loss of time. Not that men, humanity, is at loss, meaning that they are losers and there is no way for salvation. There is a way for salvation. We must put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and place our affairs in His hands. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa ladina amanu wa amilu salihat. Wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا حيا قيوما ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وعترته وخلفائه علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين صدق الله العلي العظيم وصل على محمد وآل محمد In chapter number 36, Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are the ones who record the deeds, the practices, and the effects of mankind, and everything is recorded in an illustrious book. According to the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says that when a man passes away, the angels ask, what has he put forth? Whereas his people ask, what has he left behind? So as his family and relatives are looking for the legacy that he has left behind, the inheritance, the angels are asking, what has he put forward? One of the things which we leave behind as a part of our legacy is not only the wealth, but our children. And children and wealth are coupled in the same verse in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the zina, the beauty of this world. That al-malu wal-banun zinatul hayatul dunya. He says that wealth and children, family, they are the zina, they are the adornments of this world. So what we leave behind is our wealth, and what we leave behind, more importantly than our wealth, is our children, our legacy. And our children can be a form of mercy for us. If they do good, we are also rewarded for their good. And unfortunately, in some cases, they can also become a form of punishment. They are a form of guidance, and they may be a form of misguidance. If you notice in the story of Musa and Khidr, when they took their journey, and during one part of the journey, the Prophet Khidr came across a boy which he murdered, he got rid of, and Musa questioned this act. And Khidr told him that you do not have patience to understand what I am doing, I will reveal the nature behind my actions in the future. In the end, when he revealed his intention, he said that this child, I knew that this child was going to be a form of misguidance for his parents. His parents were good, however, he was evil, and if he was to grow into a man, he would misguide his parents, and of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided him with this knowledge, and he acted upon that knowledge. So he got rid of him, so that he would not affect his parents. So children are either a form of mercy or forgiveness, or guidance and misguidance. And that's why Islam teaches us to take care of our children. Make sure to raise them properly according to the values of the Qur'an and the values of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam from a young age. When we speak about investments, we're always looking how much to gain. If I put this much capital, how much return am I going to receive on my investment? One of the greatest investments is placing your capital instead of, you know, on business and on cars and this and that and things which aren't going to return anything in the afterlife, is to place it on your children. Invest in your children. And you will gain rewards from it. You will reap the rewards. The hadith says, according to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the hadith says that teach your children three things. One thing to teach your children is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Teach your children, instill in them the love of Rasulullah. Because when they love Rasulullah, they are going to want to know everything about him. They are going to want to follow in his footsteps. They are going to want to imitate him. When you find children today, you know, in society that we live in, when they fall in love with a celebrity, when they fall in love with a musician, when they become obsessed with a musician, they know his name, they know where he was born, they know where his next concert is going to be, they've memorized all the songs, they know what he is wearing. If they come out with a clothing line, they want to purchase the clothing. If they come out with a perfume or a cologne, they want to purchase that. Because they're obsessed, they want to do everything that this movie star or this musician is doing, because they have fallen into what they think is love, correct? Because when you love someone, you're willing to do anything to know about them, to follow in their footsteps, to imitate them. The hadith says, teach them the love of the Prophet, so that they would want to imitate the Prophet instead of imitating a musician or an actress or whoever it may be. So that they would imitate the Prophet. That's one thing. And also, teach your children, this is number two, the love of the Ahlul Bayt, the family. These are mentioned as two separate things, because some people claim to love the Prophet, but when it comes to the family, they fall short. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, tell them, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةِ He says that I ask nothing of you except that you love my family members, my close family members. And how do you love them? Love is something which is in the heart. How do you translate that love into practical means? Through our actions, through following in their footsteps. So number one is love of the Prophet. Number two is love of the Ahlul Bayt. And number three, teach them how to recite the Qur'an. Teach them how to love the Qur'an. Because once they learn how to recite the Qur'an, that becomes a completion for loving the Prophets. And that becomes a completion for loving the Ahlul Bayt. Because the Prophet himself, if we love him, and if we want to follow his commands, says, I've left behind two things. You love me, I've left behind two things after me. The Qur'an and my Ahlul Bayt. So this hadith shows us the three most important things to love. The Qur'an, the Prophet, and the Ahlul Bayt. So teach them how to recite the Qur'an. Teach them the love of Rasulullah. Teach them the love of Ahlul Bayt. Instead of teaching them how to love Fulan, a movie star, or an actress, or a musician, or a fictional character. Sometimes they're even in love with fictional characters. People from cartoons, people from movies who don't even exist, they fall in love with them. They become obsessed with them. People who can benefit you and they cannot harm you. Let them fall in love and become obsessed with the personality of Rasulullah and his Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Something that will benefit in this life and something that will benefit in the next life. Likewise the Ahlul Bayt. And likewise the Qur'an. Let them fall in love with the Qur'an. Today, inshallah, today is the first day we are beginning our junior youth camp. And for the next 3 days, inshallah, we will focus this year's theme, for those who are unfamiliar, is focusing on the Qur'an. How to get in touch with the Qur'an. How to teach our children about the Qur'an. This is one thing which we will try to establish in this weekend, inshallah. And we're looking for all of your support, brothers and sisters, inshallah. Please pray for the young ones. Please pray for those who are helping in this endeavor. We have many volunteers who spend months on end. This isn't something which takes a few days to organize. Our volunteers, they spend months in advance preparing all that they can, so that they can provide something for our children, something which is beneficial to take home. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and to forgive us and to be among those who can fall in love with the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, and learn to properly recite the Qur'an, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, let us continue to remember the people who are across the globe, across the Muslim world, who are suffering the brutal campaign of oppressors and of dictators. We remember them all throughout the month of Ramadan. However, this campaign, it continues to exist till today. Let us do what we can by offering them our prayers. Let us think about other people before we think about ourselves. And I'll share just something simple with you. Yesterday I had the honor of performing a marriage ceremony. And before we performed the marriage ceremony, the bride stipulated a condition, and I found this to be very honorable. She stipulated a condition that her husband and his family donate a part of her dowry to the people of Gaza. On a day where people usually think about themselves, on a marriage, you know, they say it's a girl's happiest day, she's thinking about herself, also thinking about people who are less fortunate. It is very honorable when we can think about other people before we can think about ourselves. So before doing dua on this blessed day for ourselves and our family, let us raise our hands and do supplication and dua for those who are in need of our supplication and in need of our prayers. Let us recite this verse 5 times together, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين